Okay, b'siyata d'shmaya, we're beginning Ketzah Mevarchim, and Mirtzah Hashem, we should be zocha to grow the Torah Avodah Gemilas Chassadim together in our Amelos B'Torah. B'siyata d'shmaya. I'm excited to learn with every one of you. Just one note as far as the Mar Mekomos are concerned. The most important thing in terms of, I think, connecting to the Shir is just working on the sugya. So don't be concerned if you didn't see all the Mar Mekomos that are in the box. If you're working on the sugya and you've spent time on one or two of the Mar Mekomos that have an asterisk, then in my experience, it seems to be that most people have an easy time following the shir. Maybe stylistically, it takes a few shiurim to get used to. But what we're going to be doing is working on the basic shitos, asking basic questions for siyata d'shmaya and the Gemara, and then seeing a couple yisodos. And of course, as I formulated last time, and today will be a great example. The Magen Avraham and the Taz and the Prima Gadim are going to take the place of the Ksais and the Nesivos. And what's a tremendous bonus is also many of the sugis are lahalacha. Okay, so let's b'siyata d'shmaya begin. Zok deheilige Mishnah. Ketzah mevarchin ala peiros. How do you make a bracha? In what way do you make a bracha on peiros? Okay, very interesting lashon of ketzah. Says the Mishnah, al peiros ha'ilan hu oimer bayir priya eitz. On fruits of the tree he makes a bayir priya eitz. Chutz min ha'yayin shal yayin hu oimer bayir priya gafen. Yayin is different that it gets a bayir priya gafen. So our Mishnah is very symmetrical. Some of the Talmidim were bothered. When we get to some of the Lamdos, there might be differences between Bar Priya Gafen and Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Just think about even the words of the Bracha. One is Bar Priya Gafen, the other is Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. When it comes to Gefen is just a super Bar Priya Eitz. It's Bar Pri, but instead of saying Eitz, it's been changed to HaGafen. In contrast to Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, it's changed, as we're going to see in the Gemara, but it's changed into an entirely different form, Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. But the Mishnah really just contrasts them, and it could just be that they're not conceptually identical, but rather what we have a general rule of Pri Haaretz, and what the exception is Gafen, and we have a rule of Aretz, Pri Haaretz, and the exception is Lechem. Okay. Now, Rashi, immediately on the Mishnah, Rashi says, "Ketzah mevarchin chutz min ayayin shemitay chashivusoy kavaloi bracha la'atzmai." Due to its chashivus, Chazal were koveya for it. In other words, wine, a bracha by itself. V'cheina pas and pas also. Now Rashi really seems to be putting pas and gefen and yayin in the same category. Rashi says that both of them have a chashivus, and therefore each one of them get their own bracha. Mitoy chashivusai, in such a case, it's going to get a bracha. V'cheina pas. Now, the Gemara on Lamed Hei Amabez tries to understand, why is yayin different? So Gemara, about 20 lines from the bottom, chutz min ha'yayin, frek deheilig Gemara, maishna yayin. In what way is yayin different? Ilei mimishum dishtani l'iluya, if we're going to say that it's changed for the better. So how would you describe ishtani l'iluya? What would you say the words ishtani l'iluya mean? How would you translate ishtani l'iluya?
Become greater quality.
Upgraded change.
Upgraded change. It's gotten better. The yayin is an improved quality. Yafet. So then in such a case, in other words, it is true that it's an extract from a fruit, and really, you should get the bracha of the fruit. By the way, the Gemara here seems to be assuming that the extract of the fruit is going to get the same bracha as the fruit, which is interesting, right? Because we're going to have a sugya later on that may peiros zeya ba'alma. So, maishna yayin. In what way is yayin different? So it sounds like in what way it would be different that it would not get what? It would not get a bore pri ha'etz. So that's interesting. We do have a concept of zeya ba'alma. Okay. But that's Gemara's assumption. We're not doing the sugya of Zeya Ba'alma now, so Mirtz Hashem, we will get that. It's a fun sugya. But the Gemara says, Maishna Yayin. What way is wine different? Ilei mishtum d'shtani luyei shtani libracha. that since it's improved there, and it's therefore it has a shinui lebracha v'harei shemen. But when it comes to oil, the ishtani liiluya v'lo ishtani lebracha. Oil is from the olive, and it's squeezed from the olive, and the bracha that you're going to make on the oil is a borei priya eitz. And we don't say that it gets its own bracha. And for the Gemara, Amri Hasam Mishum Delo Efshar. No, maybe it could be just a technicality. Really, you should make a separate bracha. Heichin Nivarech. What would the bracha be? Navrich. Borei Priya Zayis. If you're going to say Borei Priya Zayis, Piri Gufa Zayis Ikri. The pri itself is called a Zayis. So you can't, that's redundant. Priya Zayis. V'nivarech ala borei pri eitz zayis. The Gemara says, no, I would have a nice lashon for it. Borei pri eitz zayis. Elomar marzutra, so we're back to our kasha. Our kasha being, what's the difference between yayin and shemen? Elomar marzutra, chamra zayin, mishka lo zayin. Wine also satiates, but oil doesn't. Mishka lo zayin, v'tnan. Now the Gemara asks a technical question from Nadarm. If you didn't understand that question, it'll be my pleasure to discuss after Shir. But the Gemara proves that when it comes to almost all foods, we assume that it is Zan. So that's the Gemara's Kasha. Ella, for sake of time, we'll skip down to three lines before the wide. Ella, the Gemara says, Chamra Said Umishka Lo Said. There's a difference between to give nutritional value, which almost everything we see from that sugya nadarim gives an individual, but to actually satisfy, zayin is to provide zan, nutritional value, to actually satisfy, wine doesn't do that. Now the Gemara has another technical question. So the Gemara asks, but at the end of the day, Rava drank wine in order to make himself more hungry, so that v'nechol matzah tvei, in order to eat a lot of matzah. So we see that wine makes you more hungry. Says Gemara, tuva, if you drink a lot garur, then eventually you'll get hungry. Something magical about wine, that a lot will make you hungry. Purta, but if you have a little bit of wine, so that would be enough to satisfy. The Gemara continues, last narrow line, umisoid klal, but does it satisfy at all? V'haksiv, but the pasuk doesn't seem to say this. The pasuk says, "V'yayin yismach levav enosh, v'lechem levav enosh yisad." That yayin is misameach the lev adam, but it doesn't say anything about it satiating. Only bread satiates. The pasuk in Tehillim says, "Answers the Gemara." Nahama, when it comes to bread, who decided chamra That's part of the question. Hamu desod chamra lo sod. Elos answers the Gemara. Chamra is beitarti. Sod u misameach. Nohama misit sod smuche lo misameach. The Gemara then asks, again, that answer is that at the end of the day, wine does both and bread does one. And therefore, the pasuk focuses on what's unique to bread, that bread is sod, and it's different than yayin, which is misameach, which bread is not. Asks the Gemara, Iyachi Navrech Aleh Shalosh Brachas, then we should bench on wine. The Gemara says, Lo Kavi Inchi Suda Sayu Lavayu. People aren't Kaveya Suda. Okay. So what emerges, Rabbosai, from this Gemara? What emerges from this Gemara is something similar to what Rashi says right off the bat on our Sugya. Rashi says, Chamra Zayin, Lahachi Choshuv Likvoa Lo Bracha La'atzmo. That the Gemara initially states that when it comes to wine is Zayin, and ultimately the Gemara says that it's Sa'id. At this stage, the Gemara thinks it's Zayin, and ultimately the Gemara says it's not just simply Zayin, it's also Sa'id, it also satisfies. And therefore, it's Chashav L'Kvoya Lo'i Bracha La'atzma. It's Chashav enough to get a Bracha for itself. Okay. So, the Gemara has explained why Yayin is unique and different. If I was asked to summarize this Gemara, the way I would summarize this Gemara is that Yayin gets a Borei Pri HaGafen because it's Sa'id and Misameach. Do you agree with my summary? Is that a nice summary? So, l'chura, that's what it does. The problem is that Rashi emphasized something else. Rashi, right off the bat in the Mishnah, says shemitoy chashivusai koveila bracha la'atzmai, that due to its chashivus. In other words, Rashi is obsessed with the concept of chashivus. Rashi is obsessed with the idea that yayin gets a bracha by itself because it is chashiv. And ad kedei kach that Rashi on Amud Beis, Rashi said, chamra zayin l'ochu chashiv l'kvoa lo bracha la'atzmai. Interestingly, when the Gemara changes his mind, when it says sa'id, Rashi says chashiv tfei mimazin. It's more chashiv than mazin. Rashi is obsessed with the idea that it is that it's what makes it unique is chashiv. Now, the Ritva has a different formulation over here. The Ritva does also something strange. But he does something strange in an entirely different direction. Zok Tehelegi Ritva, Chutz Min Ayayin Shal Ayayin Oimei Bar Piyagof, and if anyone needs a couple more booklets or remnants, Shirayim from booklets, some pages over there, says the Ritva, Chutz Min Ayayin Shal Ayayin Oimei Bar Piyagof, and please, next time I'll make more photocopies, says the Ritva, Pirush Mishum Deishtani Le'iluya V'koiveya Bracha La'atzmoy. So the Ritva says that why is it that Yayin gets its own bracha? Because it's a shinui for the better, and they're koiveya a bracha on the Yayin. They were koiveya a bracha on the Yayin. Rabosai, what could you ask on the Ritva? The Chura is a very, very strong question on this Ritva. What question should you ask? Beautiful, Yaakov. Beautiful. The Gemara was docha that. Gemara was docha shinui li'iluya. Gemara said that shemen is also shinui li'iluya, and you don't get your own bracha. And the Gemara abandoned that svara, and the Gemara then suggested that the svara is chashiv. The Gemara said chashiv. That's an interesting thing. Probably the Ritva would not be happy with me. The Gemara says that it's zayin umisameach. That's what the Gemara says. So, Tzarech Iyun, why did the Ritva say Shinui Le'iluya?
The Ritva's Dibur HaMatzel is on Amud Aleph.
Yes.
Is it possible that he...
Yafet?
Based off of the Havamina?
Maybe the Ritva is learning like the Havamina. Now, that's classic for Rashi to do. There are many examples of Rashi in a Mishnah that learns, that's Masbir the Mishnah like the Havamina of the Gemara. But over here, It's a little bit strange. It's a little bit strange that the Ritva, that stylistically the Ritva doesn't generally do that. So from my understanding, but yeah, you could suggest that for some reason. But again, we need to be masbir. Why would the Ritva want to stay in the Hava Amina? But that's a kasha that we all need to ask when we read the Ritva. Why did the Ritva say Mishum Dishtani Le'iluya? Rabbi Branchpiel Zatzal would say that if you read this Ritva and you didn't ask this question, then you were reading poetry. That's what my Rebbe would emphasize. So try to continue driving home that way of learning that he got from Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Gorelick. Okay, so that's Mishum Dishtani Le'iluya. Okay, so far so good. Tzarechion number one. So we have two tzarechions, really. Let's call that tzarechion, actually tzarechion number two. Tzarechion number one is what is Rashi's obsession with chashivus, which doesn't appear in the Gemara. Tzarechion number two is why does the Ritva say shinui li'iluya? The Ritva continues, and the Gemara Ritva then adds something. Ube Gemara muchach. Now we're not going to work on that Gemara because it's based on a Gemara daf mem amud beis. It would be my pleasure if you worked on that Gemara, but we're going to stay on our sugya right now. We try to stay, when we can, on the things that keep us local so that we're able to focus on our energies. If we're not geniuses, it's very, very hard to keep track of 20 Gemaras at once. But you should look up that Gemara since it's not exactly relevant. The diuk is not relevant to the way we're going to develop. We could leave it for now. Ube Gemara muchach din birech al ayayin bari priya etz yatsa. And the Ritva adds, and if b'di'evad you made a bracha, a bar priya eitz, you're going to be yotze. Now, I didn't see anybody formulate this way. There are a couple of things. Some of the things we're going to discuss will mention the already Gedolei Torah of our generation have already picked up on. A couple of things are new. I think this is sort of my contribution to the Olam HaTorah, is just to ask a very small question. Usually the big things are already done by things that are bigger, people bigger than us. So we try to make small contributions. So our small contribution is, why the Ritva is one of the only Rishonim that makes this point right here. Ubi Gemara Muchach, Dimbirech Aliyayim Bor Priya Eitz Yatza. What's the connection between the first sentence and the second sentence? The first sentence was, the Ritva said that Shinu Liluya, and we have a Tzar Chiyun. And then the Ritva adds, Ubi Gemara Muchach. So I want to suggest today a possible pshat of why the Ritva connected these two issues. He says, what compels him right here? Unlike the other Rishonim. For example, in Rabbeinu Yoina, we don't have that. Rabbeinu Yoina doesn't have that. Speaking of Rabbeinu Yoina, the Talmidim were harved over Rabbeinu Yoina. By the way, you know where the word harv comes from? Harav is a Yiddish expression for to work hard. So there were Talmidim in the Beis Hamedrash, Harav Dor Rabbeinu Yoina. It's a beautiful source. The shorish of the word is Vaharevna, to make Torah sweet. So it's a beautiful Yiddishism. Unfortunately, what happened is that there were Jews in America that turned their back on Yiddish. Some of them did it L'shem Shemayim. Some of them did it because they, at the end of the day, the younger generation wasn't understanding Yiddish. So, for example, if Soloveitchik Shurim switched in the 60s from Yiddish, his older Talmidim said that his Shurim in Yiddish were even more glorious than his Shurim in English. And here in Eretz Yisrael, Yiddish was also let go by many because now we're able to speak Lashon Kodesh. It's even better, unless you're in Turei Karta, it would make sense that Lashon Kodesh should be even modern Hebrew would be better than Yiddish. So, but unfortunately, Yiddish has a tremendous beauty to it. Rav Soloveitchik himself referred to Yiddish as Tashmishei Kedusha. It's not Kedusha itself, but it was the language of Torah for close to 1,000 years. So there are many beautiful Yiddishisms that capture something beautiful. So Harav and Lernin comes from the term Varevna. Okay, so many of you did work on Rabbeinu Yonah. I don't have much to add with Rabbeinu Yonah. I'll point out where Rabbeinu Yonah says some new things, but I think Emir Tzashem, you with your Talmidim, B'siyata D'Shemaya, will be able to do more with Rabbeinu Yonah than I did, but maybe I'll give you some construct that you'll be able to also, with the other Rishonim, that maybe you'll be able to fit Rabbeinu Yonah into it. But Rabbeinu Yonah, let's just make a couple points in Rabbeinu Yonah. I don't have chidushim to say in it, but just point out what's unique in Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah, Dibur Matzil Chutz Min HaYayin, says as follows. Mipnei Shehayayin, Kiman Shemachmas HaShinui Choshev Yoyser, Koivei HaBrocha La'atzmoi. So Rabbeinu Yonah is a confluence between the Shinui of the Ritva and Rashi, who says Choshev. He says, Machmas HaShinui Choshev Yoyser, K'demifarish B'gemar, D'gachar Masayinu Misameach. So, he mentions all things. He mentions both Shinui and Choshev, and he says the Chamra is Sa'id u'mesameach. He then goes on and points out that the reason why we don't make a Birchas Hamazon on wine is because we're not Koveya Suda like the Gemara. And then Rabbeinu Yonah does a different addition than Ritva. Ritva's addition was, what happens if you make a bar priya eitz? If you take a look at the end of the Ritva introduces a new kasha that other Rishonim don't ask. And that is, ubitmarim afo pishay mazain. He asks, but wait a second, tmarim, why don't they get their own bracha? Because what did we say? We said that mazon forces yayin and lechem to get their own bracha. So date, now here he means, Talmidim and myself got stuck on this. The pashas, it doesn't mean the fruits of the date, but rather the honey of the date. That's from the Hemshech, it's Mukhrach this way. Ubitmarim afobisha heimazan kivdo kavia layu, veloinishtanu kimoi shemishtanu anovin. The honey doesn't change the same way that grapes does. Kishinasu yain einim kovim bracha la'atzmai. So, the Rabbeinu Yonah makes a big deal of the shinui, that the shinui has to be a significant shinui, and tamarim doesn't have that, and therefore it doesn't fall into the category of bread and wine. So the Rabbeinu Yonah is not as cut and dry as we saw in the Rashi versus the Ritva. The Ritva concludes one way, and Rabbeinu Yonah concludes with an entirely different kasha. Is there significance in that? I'm not sure. That's something for you to learn, discuss, to teach me, and then to teach your Talmidim, Amir Tzeh Hashem. But this is Rashi, and Rashi versus the Ritva, and Rabbeinu Yonah has, on the one hand, he says chashivus. On the other hand, he also says shinui. He also mentions the chamra is zayin umisameach. And then he says, oh, once we're going to talk about, soid the misameach, once we're going to talk about soid, then we can ask the kasha about tamarim. And he says, no, but it's not enough of a shinui, and therefore it's not, the vash is not going to get its own bracha. Ad kan, divrei harishonim, Ritva and Rashi, clear poles. Rabbeinu Yonah, I leave for you to add to what we're going to say in Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah. Rav Nissen Kaplan Shlita, who inspired me in the initial parts of the sugya, he assumes Rabbeinu Yonah falls into the same category of Rashi. I don't think it's mukhrot that he falls into the same category of Rashi. So the Ayin Sham, I'm not buying into it anyhow. So I'm just. Maybe I'll let you fight about. Well, we could fight about it after Shir and in the base matter Shemir Tzashem. Okay, so that's Rashi on the one in Ritva, Rabbeinu Yonah somewhere in the middle. Okay. Now the Magia on the Ritva deserves a tremendous amount of credit. Rav Hirschler. Rav Hirschler was actually the first of the Magiim on the Rishonim. He did mostly on the Ramban, but we have him also on the Ritva. He points out that this line that the Ritva says, that if you make a Bore Priya Eitz, you'll be Yotze, is bringing us to a fundamental Chakira. Rav Hirschler says the Chakira in a simpler form, and what we're going to do is a generation later, or two generations later, Rav Nissen Kaplan made it a more lamdish chakira, more lamdish in the sense that he took Rav Hirschler's fundamental chakira and he put it into the Rishonim, which I think is very beautiful. And what we're going to do is we're going to show that there might be hashlachos of this even in the Paiskim. Rav Hirschler says, you declare the following chakira. The halacha is that if you make a Bari Pri Adama on Hamaitzi, Ruba de Shitas, in other words, Bari Pri Adama on bread, is you're not going to be yotze. Why would it be that you're not yotze if you make a Bari Pri Adama on bread? The answer is that bread is not super ha-adama. It's not a super adama. Bread is an entirely new metzius. It has a certain, notice the word, it has a certain chashivus, and its chashivus takes it out from being a Bari Pri Adama and gives an entirely new bracha. Ad kidei kach, that you're not going to be yotze if you make a Bari Pri Adama on bread. But let's be precise. What happened was, due to its chashivus, its bracha is entirely changed. Its mohus is entirely changed. Panim chadoshes bo lekan. It's entirely new mohus. That's what happened when it comes to bread. However, when it comes to yayin, there are actually two ways you could look at it. You could say that yayin is a more refined fruit, a more refined form of fruit. And let's go back to our point that we started out with in terms of the contrast of the symmetry in our Mishnah. On the one hand, bread is referred to as an entirely different bracha. Hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Wine doesn't lose its shame pri in the bracha. It's called bayre pri agafen as opposed to bayre pri haaretz. So you could argue that wine is different than lechem. Rind is a more refined bore priya eitz. Wine is a more refined bore priya eitz. What would be an example of this lahalacha? If a person makes, going from wine, just to broaden it, if a person makes a bore priya adama on a bore priya eitz, he's yotze. Why? Because a bore priya eitz is also from the ground. A bore priya eitz is a more refined bore priya adama. So maybe you could say we've got a scale. We have a scale that goes from bore priya adama to bore priya eitz to bore priya gafen. More specific brachos, but they're really coming from, no pun intended, this is a geshmak of pun that just hit me right now. I'm learning from the Rothenbergs. No pun intended, it's really coming from the same branch. It's really coming from the same Adama. It's coming from the Adama to the Eitz, to the Geffen. But it's really the same thing. It's really coming from the same thing. Or do you say no? Do you say that Bayre Pri Agafen is an entirely new bracha? So Rav Hirschler suggested that the Ritva, when the Ritva says that the bracha is going to be a Bayre, yeah, the bracha Bayre Pri Agafen, if you say a Bayre Pri Eitz, your Yaitse, what's going on in the Ritva? What the Ritva is saying is that Bayre Pri Agafen is a more refined form of Bayre Pri Eitz. Ad kan, Rav Hirschler is very nice pshat. My guess is that Rav Nissen Kaplan Shlita, who you will see over the year that I'll be fond to quote and also at times fond to disagree with. I already disagree with the Rabbeinu Yonah piece, but his I find that his sperm, you know, open up a lot of vistas. So I have a tremendous appreciation and adoration for him. Rav Nissen Kaplan, I probably took Rav Hirschler's Chakira, and now he puts it into the Rishon. Rav Hirschler just said it in theory, in terms of explaining the Ritva. But Rav Nissen Kaplan then says, well, wait a second, let's go back to Lashonis of Rashi and the Ritva. We were bothered that the Ritva said, Shinui Liluya. The Gemara doesn't go with Shinui Liluya. The Gemara changes it. So now let's pull out a play of the playbook from Rav Soloveitchik's Talmidim. The one who does this all the time in this fashion is Rav Rosenzweig Shlita, and that is we could ask the following question of what happens when the Gemara rejected Shinu Liluya. Rav Rosenzweig Shlita has a expression of echoes. In other words, when the Gemara rejected Shinu Liluya, did the Gemara entirely reject Shinui Li'iluya? Or did the Gemara say Shinui Li'iluya is not enough and we're going to need to refine what type of Shinui Li'iluya it is? The simple pshat in the Gemara is that the Gemara rejected Shinui Li'iluya. And it's gone. And now we have a new Mechayev of the Bracha. What's the new Mechayev of the Bracha? Mizameach and Sad. Or do you say no? No, that's not what happened over here. What happened over here is Gemara said, Shinui Li'iluya is not enough. It is a Shinui Li'iluya, but I need to differentiate it from Shemen. And so therefore, the variable over here is three variables. It's really, the Mechayev is Shinui Li'iluya. But not every Shinui Li'iluya is a real Shinui. And the Gemara is clarifying that this Shinui Li'iluya is Zanu Soyde Misameyach. Who's going to learn this way? Who learns this way? Okay, maybe. Wherever you turn, you're going to get into a fight over there. So that's fine. Who's going to hold this way? Very good. Very good, Jacob. The Ritva. The Ritva is going to hold this way. Dahainu. Now let's go back into all the words of the Ritva. Chutz min ha-yayin shal yayin oimei bar priya gofen. Pirush mishum dishtani lului v'kovei ha-bracha la'atzmo. One of my jobs is to bring together yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan Mir Yeshiva. That's one of my tafkidim in life. So Rav Nissen Kaplan doesn't formulate it as clearly as Rav Rosenzweig in terms of the echoes. You don't have that. But basically, that's what Rav Nissen Kaplan is driving at. And Rav Nissen Kaplan says this pshat. Pirush mishum dishtani lului v'koveh brach la'atzmo. So it's the shinui li'iluya. The shinui li'iluya is what? The shinui li'iluya is that it improves. It improves on the fruit is improved. And therefore, it's going to get a bracha by itself. But that doesn't mean that yayin is gets a bracha because of chashivus, and the Gemara rejected ishtani liluya. No, the Gemara holds on to it, but it's a shinui liluya. But what shows that this is a real liluya? The Gemara is, maybe even to take our echoes pshat and to refine it even more, how do we see that it's a real liluya? What shows that it's a real liluya? What shows that it's a real liluya is the sa'idu misamech. That shows that it's an iluya. Okay.
We weren't dohead completely.
That's right. We're just defining it. Exactly. And that's how the Ritva is going to learn the Gemara. And now we're miyashev sarachiyun, and I think that was number two. Sarachiyun number two. How could the Ritva go against a Beverisha Gemara? How can he be learning like the Hava Amina? The answer is he's not learning like the Hava Amina. I'm not learning like Yaakov's suggestion. He's not learning like the Hava Amina. Really, he's holding that it works. That it works this way. But Rashi, the way we're setting it up now, Rashi's attacked a different world. Rashi is going to learn that Shinu Liluya is entirely rejected. Right off the bat, Rashi is going Lefi, according to the way we're learning, all these Rishonim are going Lefi the Maskana. Rashi says, Mitoi Chashivusai. Rashi is saying the Gemara is going to tell us that Yayin is Choshev. Yayin is Choshev because it's So'idu Misameach. And any variable you're going to say that's unique to Yayin, like right off the bat, when the Gemara said, in the Gemara's Havamina Zayin, Lahachi Choshev Likvoya Loi Bracha La'atzmai. It's Choshev to be Koveya Bracha by itself. So, we could speculate, I think Rav Nissen Kaplan already did this. We could speculate that Rashi is going to disagree with the Ritva's Nafka Mina. That Rashi is going to hold that it's Chol Choshev, it's Kaveh Bracha La'atzmai, that if you made a Bar Priya Eitz, you wouldn't be Yaitze on Yayin. Why? Because how's it different than Lechem? Lechem is Choshev and has its own Bracha. Yayin is also Choshev and has its own Bracha. While the Ritva is going to say, no, even though in the Mishnah they're symmetrical, but one brach is hamoitzi lechem in aharis. The chashivas already was mafkia it from its pre-adama. While it comes to Geffen is a super pre. That was what we described, that all stemming from the same trunk. Adama, Eitz, and Geffen. That's going to be the Ritva. While Rashi is going to learn there's hadama and there's ha-Eitz. But Geffen is an entirely different world. And then it becomes mamish symmetrical to hamoitzi.
So roughly, the two ways of understanding Rashi versus the Ritva's opinion on the Bori Eitz B'Nieven, it's basically Rav Hirschler's two sides.
Correct. But what Rav Nissen Kaplan added is he put it into the words of Rashi. He put it into the words of Rashi's formulation. That's what Rav Nissen Kaplan's adding. The small thing that we're adding is Sarachia number three. I want to taina, that's what it's not just Stam that the Ritva said, oh, you should know this halacha. That's why, and I suspect that the Rabbeinu Yon is also not Stam that he says ubit marim, but that's for you. That's the Reif next generation. But I think now it's no longer a coincidence that the Ritva is adding these two sentences actually follow each other. I think the world up until Elul Tavshin Pei Gimel, I think the world read the Ritva. That was one thing. And then the Ritva gave another halacha. According to the way we're saying it, the Ritva, when he wrote, He wrote Lishtani Luim because this is how we understand how brachos work. And then he told us a hashlacha from his chiddush of Shini Liluya. That he knew that the next line that he was going to say was going to be controversial. And the reason why he wrote that next line is to show us that based on my formulation, Shini Liluya is going to come out in Afghanina. Now, it would have been nice if the Ritva then said, and Rashi says this, and I disagree. But he doesn't do that. But it's not a coincidence that you have this line and that line according to this Havana. Ulai v'ulai, that was what the depth of what the Ritva was when what the Ritva was thinking. But clearly, whether that was the Ritva's Kavana or not, the two things flow naturally. If you don't want to say it the way I just said now, you could say it in a different way. You could say that according to the Rav Nissen Kaplan's Pshat, the Ritva is Lishitasai in his two formulations. In other words, the Ritva is these two ideas are al pishitasa. I went even further that maybe that's why the Ritva put these two ideas back to back. Because really, it's very strange. Why over here does he talk about where you make a mistake? And by the way, the Gilyan Ashas points out on Daf Yud Beis that this is a big machlokes. What the Ritva did is quite controversial. Rabbi Akiva Eiger on Yud Beis Amud Aleph quotes a Taisis that Taisis in Dibra Maskel Loi La Suye. Taisis says that in the middle, Umiyu Hayomer Rabbeinu Chananel, about five lines into Taisis, Dimaskul Lo Dasuye, quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, Im Haya Yoidea Bibiru Shetabi Diburo. If a person knows that he made a mistake, that when he started out, these are complicated halachos in this Tosis. This Tosis is talking about somebody who starts out when he says Baruch Ato Hashem, he's mechaving one thing and then he changes his mind. This is a complicated. So, in other words, he starts out and he thinks Mizonos when he says Hashem, and he's holding a cup of, and he realizes he's not holding a cupcake; he's holding a cup of water. So then, in such a case, then that's a problem, a big problem in Hilchos Brachos. So Taisus is an example of someone who makes a mistake. Sha'amar Bore Priyaitz Tachas Bore Priyagafen. Klaus is an example of someone who makes a mistake. Taisus is going to say, come on, Chaim, a cupcake? Why is it, how is it possible a person is going to make such a mistake like that? But a person can make a mistake of thinking that you're supposed to make a Bore Priya Eitz on wine, because wine is also Mi Priya Eitz. So what happens if the person says Baruch Ato Hashem and someone corrects him, and then he corrects it? So Taisus, that's Taisus paradigmatic of a mistake. What's the Mashmos in Taisus? Mashmos in Taisus is that Bore Pri Ha'etz will not be Motzi of Bore Pri Ha'etz. That's much more. Azoi Heir Rabbi Kiva Eger in the Gilyan Hashas. This is Rabbi Kiva Eger's art. So this accentuates how Mechudash the Ritva is. The Bali Taisis assume differently like the Ritva. The Bali Taisis assume that if you make a bracha of Bore Pri Ha'etz, you wouldn't be Yaitse. So the Ritva is a Chiddush Agabe Chiddush. First he says Shinui Liluya, then he disagrees with all of the Bali Taisis. So Rashi is probably going to disagree on both fronts with the Ritva, and Rashi is going to hold that halacha is that you're not going to be Yotze, and that's going to fit in very beautifully with Rashi Shita in regards to Chashivos. Yes, Mayor.
So the Ritva holds by
Lashon
that the reason why it has a different bracha is not to do with Shima.
It's a Shinui Li, the Ritva. Explain what you mean. What's the Echreya?
Because then, if you make a bread.
Yeah.
Would you be Yotze?
No.
So then it's
no. Lechem is going to correct. Lechem is going to be different. Shema. Correct.
And according to Rashi, Lechem is Chashim just correct. One.
Correct.
Both just up on there.
Correct. Okay.
Rabbi, isn't it weird though that the way, based on the way we explain Shir, the Ritva using the Lashon of the Havamina, like that makes it so hard to under, like hard to, and it makes sense in the end, but isn't it weird that he uses the Lashon of Nidcha?
No, so.
He couldn't think of my thing. He couldn't think of another word.
What Mordechai was driving at before, I think, because we didn't talk about it too much, was that really what Rabbeinu Yonah is doing is just spelling out what the Ritva is saying. Or one of, I don't remember if it was Mordechai Shabbat. You could say that the Ritva Ritva start, he gives us the klal. It's a shinui liluya. But ein achanami, there are more details. But really, it's a shinui liluya. If the Ritva is introducing the sugya in the Mishnah, it's a beautiful way of introducing the sugya. Ein achanami, we're going to need to refine it a little more. But let's crunch it. Let's crunch, if you wanted to summarize everything we've done up until now, in one sentence. In one sense, it would be, what's the mechayiv of Bari Priya Gafen? Is it the Shinui Liluya? And that's what the Ritva wants to say right off the bat. Or Rashi, right off the bat, he says Chashivos. So the,
and because it's a Shinui, which means it still has a connection to its original form, b'dieved, you could be...
Right, because Shinui Liluya is a Bari Priya Eitz, is a more refined Bari Priya Dhamma. And so too is a Bari Priya Gafen, a more refined...
And the proof to that is that
interesting.
But by choosing the one thing that is also a shino, meaning a goat, it's only debating between two things that are a shino.
Right.
It's showing that there's still the shino is still at play.
Right.
You chose anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Is there some significance maybe by choosing olives or dates as opposed to apples? Is what I should have
done. I think the Gemara never thought that because the apples apple juice is made peros. Is only made peros. What devash is a little bit closer, but the Rebbeinu Yonah says that it's not a significant enough of a change, and that one needs to be mazur a little bit more how that change works. Yes, more.
What's pashas and shino liluya? What's better about wine than grapes?
So that it seems to be that it was more sa'id and more mesameh.
But that's when we just say shino liluya before we get to that. What's
It's improved. Most people, everybody understands that. It's just that you need to refine a little bit more when you challenge when it comes to oil. But at the end of the day, everybody knows that a cluster of grapes go for $5, and a good bottle of wine goes for $50. So everybody knows that, and so that's enough to explain that in Hilchos Brachos, Shinui Liluya is enough. Either you'll have a question, so we'll deal with that question. Eventually, we're going to deal with that question. That's what's going on over here. Okay, Rebbe, so let's move on. Okay, so this is how L'chura, how it works. Now, the Prima Gadim, also, I found that the Prima Gadim makes a big deal about the Chashivus piece, and he does something brilliant within Rashi. He creates another L'shitasai within Rashi. As I mentioned, you know, that in this man, instead of the Ksais and the Sivas, we have the Mang Avram, the Taz, and the Prima Gadim. This Prima Gadim, if I had told you that it was Reb Shmuel Rozovsky, you'd be happy. The irony is that if you learn a Rajba, so then didn't do much. But if you quote a Reb Shmuel and a Reb Ruvain, then that's called learning. So this is a Prima Gadim. It's a Prima Gadim that Mishmur. But this Prima Gadim is a beautiful, beautiful shtickle Torah. So Prima Gadim, and what the Prima Gadim is also going to do is he's going to take this Chashivus of Rashi. Up until now, we've been speculating within Rashi, and the Prima Gadim is going to actually take our speculation that we built based on the previous generations, and we're going to see that the Prima Gadim already basically took this Chashivus idea of Rashi 250 years ago, and used it to be Mazbir LaHalacha. So that shows us also that everything that we've done up until now, being Mazbir Machlokes, Rashi and Ritva, seems to have earlier sources as well, that the Prima Gadim also understood Rashi this way. I'll tell you the Prima Gadim outside, and the Prima Gadim is also going to be Miyashev, but I encourage you to look at it inside. It's a beautiful, beautiful Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim is also going to be Miyashev, the fundamental difference, the fundamental difficulty of Rashi, is that Rashi said, Mitoch Chashivuso Koveya Lo Bracha La'atzmo, that it has its Chashivus, but there's going to be a difficulty that we're going to have in regards to Shemen. In other words, in what way is Yayin different than Shemen? I'll explain shortly that a little bit more. The Prima Gadim points out that in Hilchos Brachos, if you take a look in the tour, I think we have the tour photocopy with the Beis Yosef. Tour begins in Sif Beis. Excuse me, even Sif Aleph. The Torah says, Chutz min ayayin shivarchan lo bar priya gofen, bein chai bein mevushal. We make a bar priya gofen on yayin mevushal. The Magen Avraham comments that this is, the Torah is pointing out that the halachos of yayin nesach and hilchos brachos are different. That of course there isn't the problem of yayin nesach on mevushal, but when it comes to brachos, we don't differentiate between the two. Now, the Beis Yosef on this Torah says that Rashi in his tshuvas, in Simen Peches, it's a three-word Rashi in his tshuvas. Rashi there says that you don't make a bar priya gofen on mevushal. So the Torah is against Rashi in the tshuvas. Torah is against Rashi in the tshuvas. So the question is, what's this machlokes between Rashi and the Torah? So the Prima Gadim points out that there are some who misunderstood Shitas Rashi and Shitas HaRambam. Because the Rambam in Hilchos Kiddush also holds that you can't make Kiddush on Yayim Mevusha. And the Shulchan Aruch brings down that daya that there is a Shita of Rambam that says you can't make Kiddush on Mevusha. But, the Prima Gadim points out, in Shulchan Aruch, now let's turn to Shulchan Aruch. By the way, it'll never hurt if you bring a basic Mishnah Berurah to Shir. Most days we'll make reference to something in the Shulchan Aruch. I won't always photocopy it. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Alayayin, Beferish, Bein Chai Bein Mevushal, it gets a Bar Priya Gofen. So, in Shulchan Aruch, why would it be that in Hilchos Kiddush, we quote the Rambam that says that you can't make Kiddush on Mevushal? By the way, briskers to this day are makbid for this, that they don't make wine on Yayin Mevushal. I'll tell you a wine that I use that I think is Yaitzeh Chola Deos after Shir, if you like. I could tell you that. I think it covers all the Deos. That doesn't take so awful. I once...
You're going to bring it to Shir.
Yeah, well, you could buy in the store. You could buy in the store also. There was one time that I didn't realize that they had in America. I didn't realize they had in Israel, but I realized afterwards they had in Israel. And I went to in Eretz Yisrael when you're stuck. Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, where do you go? Anybody know where you go?
The mikvah.
The mikvah, that's it. That's when you're stuck, you go to the mikvah. So it was my first year in Eretz Yisrael. So I went to the mikvah and I asked them if they have wine that's naturally sweetened without any sugar and not mevushal. So this was in Bet, in Ramat Bechemesh Bet. So he says, yeah, I have Soloveitchik wine. So there's a Soloveitchik that lives in Ramat Bechemesh Bet. He was telling me it's probably illegal wine because it's not labeled. It's not so and so. It's just that the Soloveitchiks make their own. As you do that, the Soloveitchiks make their own wine. And they had in Ramat Bechemesh. I'm telling you, it was the worst wine I ever tasted in my life. But it was pure. It must have been a tremendous amount of alcohol, and no sugar, and not mevushal. Nowadays, it's not so difficult to find. I was sort of misinformed about some of the wines over here, but briskers are makbid for the shitas Rambam. That needs to be. It's not mevushal. Now, why would it be that in Shulchan Aruch we bring down the Rambam when it comes to kiddush? But not, when it comes to Hilchos Brachos, we say it still gets a Hagafen. So Prima Gadim says there were some people who misunderstood the Shulchan Aruch. And they thought that's because the Shulchan Aruch holds that Mevushal is not a Bar Priya Gafen. But says the Prima Gadim, that's not correct. And the reason that's not correct is because the Rambam might hold that Mevushal gets a Bar Priya Gafen. But the Rambam has a separate criteria. The Rambam holds that you need Yayin Haro'i L'Nasech Agave Mizbeach. And that's Mefurish. That mevushal is possible to be yayin aroyel nasech agamei mizbech. So, if you will, there are many briskers today that sugar is also possible. Any additives would also be possible. It needs to be pure wine that has no additives and is not mevushal. And according to Rambam, then in such a case that could be used for kiddush. By the way, kedem matok kal qualifies, as far as I know. It's naturally sweetened, no sugar. and it's not, and kedem produces, of course, mayim, not pavushal. The other advantage for me is that it's low alcohol. So for me, it's the most ideal, most ideal wine to make kiddush. What's that? No, they make no matzokal as a so. Right, and the, but if you're looking for wines with a higher alcohol, so there are many wines here in Eretz Yisrael actually that are naturally sweetened. There's no sugar added. Most are like that, and then there are many that are not mevushal. But many of those actually have a very very high alcohol content. So that's the challenge. If you're looking also for low alcohol, then that's probably the only wine that's out there. Okay, so the Rambam holds you need yain or al gam mizbech. There are briskers who are makbid for that sheet. That's around the Shulchan Aruch. Also brings down that daya, and that's what's going on in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch holds, says the Prima Gadim, that you could be Yotzei. Shulchan Aruch holds that you could be Yotzei with a Bari Priya Gafen, but you can't be Yotzei Kiddush. But a Mavushal does get a Bari Priya Gafen. Oh. But Rashi disagrees with the Rambam. Rashi holds that it's not going to be Ra'ui for Kiddush, not because it's you need yayin aroy and asa and mizbeach, but Rashi holds, says the Prima Gadim, that's not called wine. Rashi holds it's not called wine. Why is it not called wine? Once it's mevushal, that's not called wine. Now, says the Prima Gadim, but wait a second. What was the Gemara's criteria for wine? Sa'id and Mesameach. Is Yayim Mevushal Sa'id and Mesameach, Rabosai? What's the answer? Absolutely. Yayim Mevushal is a lower quality. Notice that word quality. I'm about to use the Hebrew word shortly. It's a lower quality, but it's definitely Sa'id and Mesameach. So what's Pshat in Rashi and the Tshuvas? Could be. The historians out there would say it's because Rashi had a vineyard, and Rashi truly appreciated wine. So Rashi was more makbid on wine. But that's not a halachic answer. That's not the emes. The emes is that Rashi's lushitasa. That Rashi's going to learn that when it comes to yayin, the kfius of yayin is Chashivus. And here's the Prima Gadim's massive Kiddush. The Prima Gadim says Rashi learns Chashivus, and Rashi actually is not going to learn at what seems to be at first glance of Maskanas HaGemara. Maskanas HaGemara seemed to be Soed Misameach, it was black and white. And Rashi doesn't use that. Rashi doesn't go with that. Rashi holds its Chashivus. Now, who started out thinking that was chashivus? The Gemara understood that it's chashivus, but then the Gemara got stuck. The Gemara said there are other things that are more chashuv than its original pre. What else is also more chashuv? Oil. So the Gemara seemed to reject simply saying Ishtani Luyuya, that's better, that Rashi would understand Ishtani Luyuya Vamevin Yavin as Chashivus, Vamevin Yavin. And the Gemara abandoned that, and the Gemara gave us the criteria of Soidu Misameach. So then the Prima Gadim says a fascinating Chiddush. He says, you know, if you'll notice, in the Mar Mekomos, I didn't tell you how far to go in the Gemara. I told you to start, but I didn't tell you. And all of you stopped by the Gufa, right? That would make sense, by the two dots, right? As we usually do. We stop at the earliest point where a Rebbe told us to go. We stop at the earliest possible point that we could go. It's only natural. So let's go on in the Gemara. Gemara continues. Gufa, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, V'chein Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yechon, Shem and Zayis, V'varchon Lo Bari Priyates. Hei Chidami, I Lema Dikashasile, Azuke Maskele. The Gemara asks, why would you make a bracha bara priyates on wine? If you drink it, it's going to damage you. It's a big question. What does that mean, azuki maskil? It's a big question. Ultimately, the Gemara says you drink it al yidea nigram. It was mixed with beets, and the Gemara gets into discussion. Times that he's using it to make his throat better. It's time to refuah. The Gemara will work that out in the Gemara. The Prima Gadim claims that the Gemara ultimately, when it goes on, rejects the question of Shem and Zayis for an entirely different reason. It rejects Shem and Zayis because you don't drink Shem and raw. So the Kashas of the Prima Gadim doesn't start. That's another way of how to read the Gemara. Clearly, Moshe Rishon did it that way. Clearly, Yonah did not learn that way. But you could read the Gemara that way. So says the Prima Gadim like this. Rashi, we learned Rashi, that Rashi holds its chashivus because it's sa'id and misameach. But it could be Rashi's even more mechudash. Rashi is learning that yayin is chashuv. It's the more chashuv form of the priya gafen. Shemen is also more chashuv. And once it would be more chashuv, then it would get its own bracha by itself. To the point that once it's chashuv, it loses its identity of a priya eitz, and it's the chashivus that creates the bracha. If it's the chashivus that creates the bracha, so then what will come out is that mevushel is clearly not as chashuv. V'arayah the din of yayin esech. That it doesn't become asur for yayin esech. Memela Rashi's lashon actually becomes meduyuk ad hasof. That's how far the Prima Gadim goes. That because of its chashivus, it gets its own bracha, and it has nothing to do with misameach and soiv. So basically, what the Prima Gadim does is he takes the pshat that we've said up until now, and he puts it on steroids. He says Rashi is so different than everybody else. Rashi holds that it's the yayin has its own bracha because of its chashivus, and now we have a second nachkamin and our chakira. There's no way that the Ritva would say that the halacha is, when it comes to mevushal, that it doesn't get a bar priya gafen. Of course, he will learn like the majority of Rishonim. Rashi holds that once it's chashivus, it's a separate bracha, it's an independent bracha, but maybe you could go so far as to say that chashivus then defines entirely the bar priya gafen, and we reject even the side to say misameach and sod. So that's how far the Prima Gadim goes. Now, why am I so happy with this Prima Gadim? Because the Prima Gadim really confirms that the Shtikl Torah that we set up until now, Beshitas Rashi, he confirms it. He just puts it on steroids. He takes it that much further. He says it's Chashivas Adasof that he even ignores the whole idea of Misameach and Sa'id. We were choker that Misameach and Sa'id could do one of two things. Misameach and Sa'id could create Chashivas. That was what we said in Rashi. Or Misameach and Sa'id could create a Shinui Liluya. That's the Shita of the Ritva. Not only are we correct in being Medayik, according to Ritva, that's Chashivus, he says that the Chashivus is so far that we even actually reject the Misameach and Sa'id. And then he makes a Rashi L'Shita Sa'id when it comes to the din of Mevushal. Okay, this Bistiyat of the Shemaya is a little bit of an understanding of Yain. I'm sure there's much more to do, but in terms of reading the Rishonim properly and seeing the Hashlachos, I think the Siyata D'Shemaya, this is enough. In Mirtzeh Hashem, what we're going to continue doing is as follows. We will start the Shakla V'Tari of the Gemara. There's a beautiful, I mean it in the most laudatory sense, there's a beautiful cute sugya of Ein Orim Shira Alayayin, but I don't think it requires 2 days of Seder. Comes out Monday, Tuesday. Yeah. Sometimes even 2.5 days of Seder alone on that. So I'll give you Mar Makomos on that. And then we're going to start the sugya of Minoani Mili. How do we know that there is a source of bracha? And that is probably the biggest sugya of all in Ketzan Varchin. It's a beautiful introductory sugya. A lot of times that you'll have in Gemaras, what we start off learning in the beginning of the Zman, isn't necessarily the introductory topic. But it happens to be Ketzah Mevarchin is fantastic, because the overarching topic of Ketzah Mevarchin is the first Amud of Gemara, which is really works out beautifully, starting off the Zman. You don't have to do, sometimes there are Rabbeim, they have to skip to the end of Masechta. We learned Gittin last year, I think with Rosenzweig, when he starts Gittin, he learns the last daf in Masechta Gittin first. Because that tells us the parameters of when a couple is supposed to get the divorce. So here it works out very nice in Ketzah Mevarchin. The first Amud is really the Hakdama. And so B'siyata D'Shemayim will go through that well. There are some beautiful ancillary sugyas in Zra'im. I'm going to decide. There are two big, beautiful sugyos in this Ram over here also. I need to spend more time deciding whether we're going to do it. But in the meantime, start the Shaklavatari of the Gemara, and I will give you the relevant Mar Makomos in the Rishon, in the next session. Okay.